This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Radical reforms in Argentina have been derailed by judges. Live from the UK, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Felicity Hanna. Good morning. Argentina is South America's second biggest economy, but it's struggled for years with rampant inflation and massive public debt. The new libertarian president, Javier Milei, thinks he has the answer, a radical agenda of privatization, currency devaluation and austerity. Now, the courts have intervened, blocking controversial changes to labour laws. The BBC's Nick Marsh has more.
The courts have suspended some of the government's planned reforms. So that includes increasing job probation periods by several months, making it easier to fire employees, reducing the compensation if you're fired, cutting maternity leave as well. And basically, the judges said that Milei is going to need the approval of Parliament to get it done. He's trying to get it through decree. They called the laws unnecessary, punitive, repressive. So we'll have to see what happens now. It could be the beginning of a long battle between how Javier Milei's plans and the country's judiciary.
Nick Marsh there. Let's do the numbers. Asian shares slipped overnight as investors reacted to minutes from the US Fed, suggesting interest rates could stay high for longer than many people had expected. And hopes for rate cuts in Europe have also fallen after inflation in France ticked up again in December, with prices rising 4.1% over the year, up from 3.9% in November. Oil is up again following concerns over disruption to Middle Eastern supply. Brent crude rose more than 1% this morning. And sticking with the Middle East, a joint statement by a dozen countries, including the United States, has warned Houthi rebels in Yemen against carrying out further attacks on merchant ships in the Red Sea. The statement said the Iranian-backed militants would bear the consequences if they continued to threaten lives and the freedom of navigation. But what does this mean for those working on the ships? Steve Cotton is the General Secretary of the International Transport Workers Federation.
The majority of the world's seafarers, about a third, are Filipino. And we've been having a number of questions about what's their rights when it comes to transiting the Red Sea at the moment. So they're asking us, do we have to go, is one of the conversations. And if they have to go, what's the compensation?
So for Yemen, we created a area which is considered warlike. And if a ship is bound for that warlike zone, the seafarer is entitled to double their basic wage, payable for a minimum of 5 days, and then obviously carries on if they stay longer. And the right to refuse to sail with repatriation at the company's cost and compensation of 2 months' basic wage.
That's Steve Cotton from the International Transport Workers Federation. The economic downturn in China has led to historically high youth unemployment. More than one in five people between the ages of 16 and 24 are jobless, although it is now difficult to know the real figure because the country has stopped releasing the statistics. The BBC's China correspondent Laura Bicker has been to southwest China to meet young people who graduated last year and find out how they're coping.
Hello, my name is Joy. Welcome to Chengdu.
Joy came to Chengdu from a rural village to study. At 23, she is the first in her family to go to university. She shows me round her local food market, pointing out her favourite snacks.
Yes, this is bingbing.
Like most of her classmates, she hasn't found a full-time job.
I do 1, 2, 3, 4. This is five jobs.
She's been a tour guide, run a stall selling hot drinks, and she's tried some internships. She's got a sales job for now, but it's not a career move.
Do you think it's more difficult now than when your parents were growing up to get a job?
Yes, the fact is there are lots of jobs. The problem is whether you are willing to lower your expectations. These jobs don't have good prospect for your future. They offer low salaries and you are easily replaceable. That's why most people would rather stay at home than choose one of these jobs.
So we're at a job fair just on the edge of Beijing. It does look a bit like speed dating with recruiters. You've got people sitting behind desks explaining what they do, everything from selling insurance or perhaps working with the elderly. Those opportunities are not ideal for recent graduate Tian Yu.
But you're a software engineer, so I would imagine that your skills are in demand.
The skills are hotly sought after, and therefore there are too many people. Many are looking for jobs, not many found jobs.
For decades, young people in China were taught that if they work hard, study hard, it will aid the country's economic miracle. But as that miracle falters, this unwritten social contract no longer stands. And the Communist Party may fear that a disillusioned youth will pose a threat. Social media has coined the nickname lying flat for young people frustrated by the competition of modern life. But sitting out the ailing job market is not an option for all. 23-year-old Zheng Guling and her boyfriend like to play pool in their free time. She has a marketing degree, and after a few months of searching, she's taken a job in customer service. Both she and her boyfriend want to work, but years of COVID lockdowns have changed their outlook.
Do you think there's a difference in the kind of dreams that you have and what you want from life?
My parents are less educated. The things they've encountered, the places they've visited, are few and limited. They've never left their home province. They just want a stable life. But we want to see more things, see the outside world, and think about what we really dream of.
As China's older generation enjoy their well-earned mornings in the park, joining choirs or taking dancing lessons, this country's young generation is adjusting its expectations. The Communist Youth League urged them to take off their suits, roll up their sleeves, and go to the farmland. But many young people seem to be hoping for a very different way of life. In China, I'm the BBC's Laura Bicker for Marketplace.
And finally, did you have a part-time job as a teenager? It probably won't have been as lucrative as 16-year-old darts sensation Luke Littler's. The teenager known as Luke the Nuke has pocketed $250,000 in prize money. In the UK, I'm Felicity Hannah with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.